It's Thursday, December 31st, 2020. I'm Robert Woolsey, and joining me is Catherine Rose for KCAW's annual Year in Review. Well, it's all right. Riding around in the breeze. Well, it's all Happy New Year, Catherine. How are you?
Happy New Year, Rob. I'm doing really well, thanks.
It's our year-ender time, and COVID is such a big story in 2020 that it's like the pavement that all other stories rolled out on. Everything from school closures, the poor fishing season, the non-existent cruise season, to elections. There was hardly any news that wasn't somehow propelled by the pandemic.
And while it's still too early to tell, hopefully we'll be looking back in a few months and calling the arrival of the vaccine one of the biggest stories of 2020. But we're still in the earliest stages of the vaccinations, and providers are working out all the kinks in the delivery system.
Yes, I have heard of a few kinks myself, but anyway, that's inevitable. So we'll circle back to COVID over the next 10 minutes, certainly, but I thought we could take turns talking about what we thought some of the biggest stories of 2020 were, whether or not they were directly related to the coronavirus.
That sounds good. Why don't you go ahead, Rob?
I'm giving my top spot in the news to the resolution of the Jessica Baggin cold case. Now, I know for newcomers to Sitka, this feels like something in the deep past. But for those of us who were here 25 years ago, Jessica's death left an indelible impression on how we thought about ourselves and our community. And the ending of the story is just as hard to understand as the beginning. Here's Alaska's Commissioner of Public Safety, Amanda Price.
While Branch will never face a jury of his peers in this case, we can finally say that Jessica's case is solved.
So the suspect, Steve Allen Branch, took his own life in Arkansas after investigators confronted him last August. They were led to him by a technique called genetic genealogy that's being used all over the country now to solve cold case crimes. And it's just so tragic that Sitka was on the forefront of all this.
Yeah, when I think of the big news stories this year, that one definitely is at the forefront of my mind. For me, this year, seeing Sitkins exercise their right to assemble over and over and over again, it wasn't just one story, it was many news stories. There were several demonstrations in Sitka following the death of George Floyd, a 46-year-old black man who was killed by Minneapolis police in May. Floyd's death sparked nationwide protests and calls to end police violence and defund the police. And in response, in Sitka, there were vigils and weekly demonstrations in solidarity with the Black Lives Matter movement that continued well into the fall. Sitkins also demonstrated in front of Centennial Hall to call for the removal of the statue of Alexander Baranov. Here's Dionne Brady Howard speaking at the first demonstration in June.
This monument is not about telling our history. It's not about acknowledging it. It's a monument. It's a place of honor for someone who does not deserve our honor.
The group held more demonstrations, and a petition to remove the statue received nearly 3,000 signatures. The assembly ultimately voted to relocate the statue to the Sitka History Museum, and plans are in the works to replace it with a new monument in 2021.
You know, 2020 will definitely be remembered as the year of adaptation, when we had to change so many basic behaviors about how we lived and worked. You know, you and I are chatting on the radio, but we're really home at our kitchen tables. And while it's only been a year for adults, one unusual year, for school children, a year's disruption in their social and academic lives is a very big thing. We had a taste of what it was like during a two-hour listening session with the school district earlier this month. Many hearts were laid bare at that meeting, I remember. But this comment by a parent, Teal West, has remained with me since that day.
I've watched a vibrant 12-year-old that was in silks, softball, basketball, girls on the run, you name it, she did it. She's now in nothing. I watched her go from not being on a screen much, not having access to iPhones, to being on an iPad 8 hours a day.
You know, Catherine, I can't help but feel that we owe our children another year of learning in class with Sitka's excellent teachers, of playing sports and music together, or just hanging out with friends.
Yeah, the pandemic really threw a wrench in so much and affected so many things. It really deeply affected local politics. The Assembly and Sitka Tribe received millions of dollars in CARES Act relief funding and spent months figuring out how to spend it. The Assembly tried to develop COVID policies. Several varied attempts at masking mandates didn't pass muster at the Assembly table, in large part because the public was very divided on whether it wanted more restrictions. When it came time for municipal elections in October, it was really clear that the dramatically different year had energized local political engagement. 8 people ran for seats on the Assembly, 2 for mayor, 3 for school board, and national issues, namely the coronavirus and navigating the financial repercussions of the virus, but also social and racial justice fueled the local election, and tensions were heightened over racist comments made by candidates and threatening language published by one candidate's social media. As a result, we saw the highest local election turnout in the last 15 years. And Sitka elected 2 new women to the Assembly, Crystal Duncan and Rebecca Hemshoot. Hemshoot is a teacher who served on the State Board of Education.
There's nobody who doesn't want good things for our community. So how we get to those good things is the crux of the matter. And so if we can respectfully learn from each other the steps that we all want to take, I think that we'll all benefit.
Duncan, who works for the Alaska Native Tribal Health Consortium, was spurred to run after she became involved in the effort to remove the Baranoff statue over the summer.
And I realized on July 14th that I had no idea how to get that done. I wasn't sure if I reached out to the city, the tribe, how does this all work? Yeah, as I was at the assembly meeting where they were going to take a vote, I looked up and I realized that I didn't see myself reflected in the current membership. And so that had me bringing up questions of access and diversity.
Sitka elected a new mayor, 2-term assembly member Stephen Eisenbeis, and Blossom Twitchell and Andrew Hames were elected to Sitka's school board. For Sitka Tribe of Alaska Tribal Council, Dionne Brady Howard and Louise Brady were newly elected, along with incumbents Bob Sam and Michael Miller, and Lawrence Woody Widmark was elected to the tribal chair post.
I think we've done years in review in the past where we've dwelled more on Sitka's seafood and tourism economies. Both were definitely caught in the downstream effects of the pandemic this year. But there were some bright spots. The Ocean Victory is coming to Sitka's Industrial Park next summer for what's called turnarounds in the business, offloading one group of passengers and bringing on board another. It's supposed to be far more lucrative than a regular port of call and an excellent niche for Sitka in the cruise market. And Sitka's commercial fishing fleet stepped up when their traditional markets were almost eliminated by the virus. The Alaska Longline Fishermen's Association led an effort to use grant funds to distribute seafood to Alaskan communities where fish runs had collapsed. Jackie Foss and her husband fish for lingcod, coho, and king salmon aboard their 40-foot troller out of Sitka, and they were part of this effort.
When you're starting out with unknown markets, unknown volume, unsure if you're going to be able to sell your fish anywhere. There was a lot of anxiety early on.
The work of ALFA, Alaska Sustainable Fisheries Trust, and Catch Together helped stabilize markets in what otherwise may have been a total disaster in 2020.
There are some issues on the table Sitkins care about that got a little sidelined this year due to the pandemic, but are still going to need to be addressed moving forward. And one of those is childcare. Sitka has a major lack of childcare options for young parents. Pandemic social distancing restrictions and regulations made that even more apparent. But before the pandemic, we produced a series on Sitka's childcare shortage. We spoke to parents and providers and experts about what it would take to meet Sitka's childcare needs. It's a multi-pronged problem. That's what we found out. It's expensive. The cost can be prohibitive for parents. But there's also a shortage of workers. One parent, Mackenzie Rose, was juggling babysitters in the morning and bringing her baby to work with her in the afternoons to make do.
It's really hard, though. I mean, I feel like I'm not doing as good of a job at my job, and I'm not doing as good of a job at being a parent. I think a lot of parents feel like that. I don't know. I don't really know what other option would be good because I can't go 8 hours without being with her. I mean, I don't want to. I would feel so terrible. And so you just like try to do as best as you can. But I mean, I've definitely sat in here and just like
cried.
Yeah, you know, I can't help but think that after the pandemic, we're going to go back and look at some of these problems we were having before the pandemic, and there's going to be kind of a new approach to working and parenting, because this has been the year when parents all over the country have really been put to the test, and I think there's going to be some changes coming. Let's hope so. Catherine, I can't conclude my year in big stories without mentioning Sandy Poulsen, who was inducted into the Alaska Women's Hall of Fame this fall. Her "Who me?" response when the Hall of Fame called was just so classic Sandy. The Daily Sitka Sentinel has been a family-run business for over 50 years, and Sandy and Thad Poulsen are giants of small-town journalism.
I just have to remind myself to smile modestly.
Smile modestly? I'd say Sandy Poulsen has bragging rights.
So this has been a year rich with news and lots of big stories. Lots of things happened this year. It's impossible to mention all of them, but here are a few that bear mentioning. Former Sitka Police Detective Mary Ferguson settled harassment claims against the city for $500,000. The city had settled earlier in the year with former jailer Noah Shepard for $30,000. That was the third of three lawsuits brought against the Sitka Police Department over the previous couple of years.
And back at the beginning of the year, Sitka schools had their first snow day in either 15 years or in 6 years, depending on who you talk to, on January 9th, 2020. After 15 inches of snow fell steadily over a few days. That feels like another planet now.
Yeah, and the Sitka Tribe of Alaska scored some wins in its lawsuit against the state over the management of the commercial herring fishery, which did not occur again for the second year in a row.
And we said goodbye to a pair of Sitka institutions, Gil Truitt, an educator at Mount Edgecombe High School, and Bob Allen, the founder of Allen Marine, both passed away this year.
You know, Rob, usually we end these conversations having discussed the big stories and challenges of the year, and we try to sort of end it on an uplifting, unifying, positive note. But the reality of this year is that it's been like no other. As of this recording, over 330,000 people in the United States have died. Over 19 million people have been infected by the coronavirus. It further exposed deep divisions and inequities in our society. Life has been upended by this virus for so many, and it's frankly a little exhausting to hear about it. COVID fatigue is very real, and the news can be difficult to swallow, especially when we're so disconnected from each other. But Sitkins did find little ways to connect this year, whether it was through a window at the Pioneer Home or enjoying a lot more outdoor time with friends and family. And it was inspiring to see how people adapted and found ways to bring joy to each other. Early in the pandemic, one bartender, Peter Menendez at Ernie's Old Time Saloon, made Sitkins a virtual drink and gave the viewer a chance to tell a joke.
Really? No kidding. He said that? I can't believe, well, you know, he does that kind of stuff. And then she did that? Man, you gotta be kidding me.
Yep, Menendez's video was a shot in the arm at a very dark and uncertain time for all of us.
Nice choice of words there. Speaking of a shot in the arm, Rob, have you signed up for the vaccine yet?
Yes, I'll post a link to the sign-up on the kcaw.org website, along with the phone number to call if you'd rather make an appointment that way.
And then maybe next year at this time, we'll be talking about 2021 sitting at the same kitchen table.
I look forward to it, Catherine. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Rob.